Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Oh, my wonderful, amazing audience. Okay, so we're gonna talk, you know, I'm on a therapeutic, you know, healing theme these days. So today's topic that we're gonna talk about is healing your trauma so that you can feel love. So before I talk about this topic, we need to be on the same page so that we're talking about the same things. So I identify trauma as anything that has happened in your past that affects how you currently move in the world. And trauma is often something that has been an event, an experience that happened. And of course, my lovely puppy here is like, ooh, she's talking, so she won't notice that I'm bringing a bone where I'm not supposed to. No money. All right, where was it? Oh, yes, trauma. So trauma is an experience or an event that is captured somewhere in your past. It could be like recent past or really far, far in your past that is like captured everything about that experience. So the sounds, the smells, the tastes, the touch, all the senses. It took a huge recorded it in every part of that experience from every aspect. Okay. So think of it as you now have this experience that is stuck in on a loop in your brain. And part of your subconscious may or may not, but most often is kind of stuck in the loop of the trauma. So it's like watching over this movie over, and then it rewinds and then watches it again and it watches again and it watches again and it watches again. And so that's what trauma, how that trauma is being storing in your brain. Okay. Now, every little nuance between smells, colors, sounds, tastes, time of day, time of year, age, every little bit of that information can then, as soon as you come across it in your day-to-day life, can have the, trigger that memory, okay? Trigger that trauma, and that trauma comes up to the surface. And then we are very raw and tend to be very reactive, and we having a lot of those similar feelings that we had when that experience happened. And so depending on what those feelings were at that experience depends on, you know, what's going on under the surface. And then here's where the next level of complication happens, is that whatever coping strategy you had to survive that experience gets imprinted in how you move in the world. So let's say, let's go with the smell, because smell is one of the most profound of the senses. So every time you smell Old Spice, for example, You may not all of a sudden, there's like a, you may not even be aware of it, but the smell of Old Spice will pick up that you might be in danger. If you were in danger when Old Spice was around the very first time and you were, a trauma experience happened and it was captured and it's in the video. And so now, and then you feel unsafe. And when you're feeling unsafe because you smelt Old Spice, your defense mechanism, which is the coping strategy in order to survive, may be to fight, to be aggressive, to be angry, to be sad, to be scared, to be control, to be run away, to like whatever happened then is typically. So every time you smell Old Spice, you will have this uncontrollable not being aware of what's happening, why you're happening, and doing that thing. Fundamentally, it creates a feeling of unsafety. Okay? So that's how profound those ex trauma experiences are rooted in us if we haven't reprogrammed them, rewired them, acknowledged them. So, for example, we'll take the Old Spice, for example. When I smell Old Spice, I my because one of my when I was a child and abused, the person room was wearing Old Spice. When I smell Old Spice and I can feel all of a sudden like my heart starts to race and I'm feeling extra anxious and I'm like, oh right, that's because of that. So I'm in power and I've created newer pathways so I can choose something new. And I can just be like, okay, that's Old Spice, not my favorite smell, but we are safe. I am safe. And so that healing that and all of many different variations of that, like we talked about, if there's one story, one, if you had one traumatic event, you have a lot of triggers from that event. If you had more than one traumatic event in your life, you're going to have a lot more triggers, which means that you may just be a low grade living at a feeling of unsafety all the time. And until we heal that feeling unsafe, we really can't joy. So here's where this love and joy part comes in. And I've noticed this, that the more I've healed my trauma and I've spent a lifetime doing it, that I and I know immediately when I'm feeling not stable and unsafe. And then do what I need to do to drop into feeling safe again. It's allowed me to find beauty, joy, and to feel love, to truly be able to allow others to love me and for me to love others and creatures and to feel true unconditional love. And that's taken this, well, I'm 51, so that's taken quite a while. To get there. But it's possible. And what happens when we don't feel safe, and sadly, when we had trauma, the thing that trauma rips, like the fundamental, there's some things that it rips from us. One, love. It rips love away from us. It really does. You not conditional love where we feel like we're in love and it feels and it can feel very overwhelming and it can feel very intense and it can feel very passionate. That's called obsessive love. That's not real love. That's obsession, or conditional love, where if I love you as long as you do X, Y, and Z, or somebody else says, I love you if you do X, Y, or Z. If you don't do X, Y, or Z, I take my love away from you. There can be this obsessive sort of wanting to devour somebody. That's also a trauma response from not being being rejected, not being loved as a child, not being experiencing love. So true love is non-conditional. And true love happens when we feel safe. We feel safe in ourselves. We aren't trying to feel love or give love with an alternative motive attached to it, or it's to make us feel safe in the world. Love should not be equated to safety, because actually, unconditional love isn't very safe as far as like a safe deal goes. It's a safe bet. It's not, love isn't really a safe bet. And it may only make us feel biochemically good because it's dropping endorphins and dopamine and all these, serotonin levels are increased. But none of that is like helps for stability and to feel safe in the world. So when we no longer are attached to love making us feel better or us loving others to make them feel better, what happens is that means that we are starting to feel safe in the world. And we have our own other tools that we've learned and we've healed and that will help us to feel safe in the world. Because love in itself is pretty volatile. And most of us, the majority of us, are running around very, very toxic, not very conditional. We as humans, we have lots of flaws. A lot of us have trauma, so we're reactive from a trauma place. We're all trying to get our needs met to try to make ourselves feel safe, and sometimes those coping strategies are healthy, and sometimes they're not. And they show up in relationship dynamics all over the place. So, like, yeah. So I'm going to put love over here as letting go. The first part is healing your traumas and being aware so that you can make yourself feel safe, so that you can let go of love being the thing that will fix it. It's almost like, especially if the trauma is about abandonment and specifically about parental lack of ability to love unconditionally and things like that. So let's put that aside, okay? Let's put that over here in this lovely little box and be like, okay, let's not call that unconditional love, because it's not. Let's call that we are trying to survive. When we heal our trauma and we start feeling safe, we no longer are trying to survive. We start thriving. Even if things are hard, even if life isn't, working out all tickety-boo, you're not in a survival mode. You're in a thriving mode because you feel safe. You feel internally, you feel safe. You feel safe within yourself. You feel safe with who you are. You're able to feel love and joy and pure love and pure joy. And I share this with you because it's only recently, that I've been able to truly feel like unconditional love. And for me, it happens with animals, because animals for me are safer than humans, because they're less. Let's put it that way. And so that's been my gateway. That's been my, which is, why I've, started doing all this animal assisted therapy and animal assisted healing work with clients. Because for me, my gateway to feeling safe, being present, emotional regulation, all of these things in order to really show up for an animal, was through animals. So, and I'm sharing this because I was able to feel l love. Like each time this happens, I don't think I could love any harder or any bigger or any more. And yet it happens because I feel, because I've been healing and I heal my trauma. And so I feel safe. I feel safe in my body. I feel safe in the world. I feel safe. I'm not worried about the trauma. I'm not in a trauma loop anymore. So because of that, which is beautiful, I rewrote those movies. I refilmed those movies. I rewrote the story. I'm no longer living those stories. I'm no longer in those stories. I have a new reality. I have a new way of looking at the world. It doesn't mean that that stuff didn't happen. It did, but how it affects me has changed. And that's a lot of the work that I do with my clients, is to help them heal and to change the movie. Let's switch this channel. Let's pull ourselves out of that. Let's be aware of what it is, and then take our power back from it. Anyways, back to the animals. So last week, at the farm that I go and hang out at, Utterly Ridiculous Farms, they have a new donkey. They have a new baby donkey, and his name is Walter. And Walter is the most lovable, fuzzy, delightful creature, one of the most delightful creatures I've ever met. And so Walter, and this is where this unconditional love came in. Okay. So over the last couple of weeks, I've not been feeling very well. You know, life has been a little, not as fun and frolicky and playful as I would like it to be. And so, I haven't had a lot of resources. I've been expending a lot of resources in life. And so the idea of being able to like hold space for someone or hold space for a creature or do any of that kind of stuff felt like, well, that might be a little hard. I might not have the bandwidth to do that because I've been spending all this energy doing these other things. And yet, this Walter, he really needed some unconditional love. He's just weaned from his mama. He's moved to his new home. He's really scared. He was really scared. He was stressed out. He was all alone. While we're getting him integrated into, before, he's in quarantine, before he can meet his herd and all the things. And so, the owner asked me to, when I had a moment from taking care of, hanging out with the goats, if I could just go and hang out with Walter and just kind of be with him and let him come to me and do all the things that he needs, just so that he knows that he's not alone. And I was like, absolutely, right up my alley. So I take a chair in, and earlier I'd said hi to him, so he knew, when I said hello first early in the morning, and this was later in the day. And so I took a chair in, and I just took the chair in, and I sat down, and I just started talking to him, and he was like very apprehensive and slowly, and he came over and he smelt me, and I started talking to him and telling him all about his new home and is telling him about, his new herd and their personalities. And the more I just kind of like, and I was just holding space for this little guy, right? Just letting him know that he's safe. He's safe because he wasn't feeling safe, which is what, we're talking about, is safety, right? So I'm really good at helping people and also helping animals feel safe and finding that safety. So as I'm like dropping and holding that space for him, he was just like, he kept coming closer and closer. And then he just rested his head on my lap. And as I was talking, he was like sniffing me and giving me kisses. And he was just like, and his whole body was like, all right, I'm okay. This is safe. And, but in that moment of like, that was completely, there was nothing, I wasn't doing it for me. Okay. There was nothing, I got lots of beautiful things from it. The reason I got beautiful things from it was because I didn't need anything. I didn't go in with, I want him to snuggle with me. I want him to like me. None of those things, right? I was just there to hold space, to help this little guy, to love him unconditionally, and to love this little guy so that he could feel safe in his new home. And in doing that, my heart just like kept opening up and just kept opening up. And I was like, I'm so in love with this creature because I'm just watching him as I watch him start to relax, and I watch him, and start to feel safer, and his body language is safer, and he's leaning into me, and he's engaging with me because he's feeling safe. That's because I just held space and told him that he was loved. And he was, and he is. And I had nothing, there was nothing in it for me. I got a lot. My heart expanded. It was this beautiful exchange with this beautiful creature that I look forward to seeing, this week. I'm building a wonderful relationship with this creature. We're going to be buddies. We're going to be besties. But again, that is just about feeling safe, creating safety for him. I had to be safe. I had to be zen. I had to be regulated. I couldn't go into that pen and be like, "Oh my God, the world is shit and blah blah and everything else is going on and fighting with a friend and like all these other things that were going, might be going on in the world or in my life." I had to like, I'm going through perimenopause and I'm emotional and I'm hot flashing. Like I had to let go of all of those things to be completely 100% present for him and to love him so he could feel like love him unconditionally and to sh help him feel find safety because I wanted nothing from him. He didn't have to do anything or be anything for me. He just got to be, and I got some lovely moments with him. And then I spent some other lovely moments with him, helping him be okay in his new sleeping arrangements. And but my heart felt so full and my face was smiling so hard that my jaw hurt on the way home, and all like for 3 days I was just like, Walter's the best. Of course, everybody in my life's like, oh God. I'm talking about Walter. Yeah, but people in my life love me unconditionally, so they like it makes her happy. So we'll listen to about stories about Walter. So, but that's because I've healed. I couldn't do that. I could not have helped that creature and supported that space for that creature if I hadn't have done a lot of healing. I can't hold that space for my clients who are in a state of fear and distress and anxiety and despair and hopelessness and all the other things that they're going through because of trauma, because of childhood stuff, because of, relationships, because of abuse, because all these things. If I couldn't know what it feels like to be safe, if I couldn't find the safety within myself to hold that space for somebody else or someone or something else. And as a happy byproduct, it means I get to have joy. Right? So that was the experience with Walter. But then, I had all these incredible, laughing, ridiculous moments with all the goats. And laughing and finding joy and watching the new babies go outside and be in grass for the very first time and the reaction and as I was watching and feeling joy, this joy was just so beautiful that it just again expanded my heart, and my heart just felt so full, just felt like it was going to explode and ejaculate out of my chest. I almost went a whole episode without just saying something inappropriate. Almost. So I really think that the saddest part of trauma, other than the experience and all the awfulness and the fear and the pain and this, all that kind of stuff. But what I think is the byproduct of all that trauma that it steals from us is joy, love, safety. And without safety, we can't have joy and we can't have real love, experience real love, experience, allow others to love us without feeling like we are obligated to reciprocate or we have to prove our worth of getting that love, or giving people love for the sake of just loving them unconditionally, not because of what they are bringing to me or what they're giving to me, or are they holding their end up of the bargain of the relationship dynamics? Like, I can just love somebody where they're at, for who they are. Allow them to be who they are. Even if that who they are does nothing for me, it doesn't benefit me in any capacity whatsoever. But that only happens if I heal. That only happens if I'm not moving from a place of a deficiency of trauma, which is what trauma creates, a hole, an emptiness. Something that needs to be filled. That's filled. Those places, those wounds, those scars, they're healed. Some of them still, I still have the scars, but they're not gaping wounds. And because they're not gaping wounds, they aren't controlling my life. They're not stopping me from having these beautiful moments, these beautiful exchanges, this joy that's like, I can't even, it's like a sunset, you know that moment, if you've ever had this moment, and if you haven't, then we need to talk, okay? Because this is what it means. This is what it why it's what's the point of being a human if we can't have these moments? So you know when you see a sunset and the colors are so breathtaking, it's like so breath, it takes your breath away, it makes your heart just like, wow, it's just like so much beauty in the you're in awe. And there's like your heart feels like, and you may even want, there may even be tears of joy that run down your face because it's so amazing and so beautiful. Life has many of those moments to be had, not just the sunsets. Life is filled with those possibilities. They're filled and they're around us all the time. Even when life is really hard, can be really hard. And even when life is like, can be really, really dark, there's still these moments that are available to us if we heal that trauma. That trauma is re stealing those moments. And I say, fuck you, trauma. I'm taking those joy moments back. Because it's those joy moments, those love moments, those Walter love moments, those, watching a baby goat meet grass for the very first time and jumping and, jumping up and down, being of happiness. And, one baby goat's like jumping like, yay, this is the best thing ever. And another baby goat's like, ah, it's touching me. Why is it touching me? Why is it touching me? Till he like figures out that it's not anything bad and that he can also and frolic and enjoy with the other baby goats, right? Those moments are around us. Moments of you just being outside and watching some kids frolic and have a good time, watching a dog just be so happy, so happy. This is life like he's won the lottery, like my dog Muddy, he's the best. He's the best, He's trained off leash very, very well. And so like if I have to go outside to take, either the recycling or, our green box, our green stuff out for her compost. And, I'm like, all right, come on. And, he's like, oh my God, we're going on an adventure. And he's wiggling his whole body and he's so excited. And then, he gets outside and he's like running around in circles and jumping over things and he's so happy. And we walk to the, where the compost is and I put the thing in there and, he gets to pee on some stuff and then he like runs back and he's like waiting at the door for me. And he's like, thanks, Mom. That was the best. And every part of his being is like, that was awesome. We just went outside for 3 seconds to go and put the garbage away. So, two things that I want to leave you with. One, I want you to have love. I want you to feel love. I want you to be loved. I want you to be able to love. Let's heal the trauma that's stopping that. Two, I want to invite you to have more experiences of joy, pure beauty and pure joy. And one of the ways that, like I said, one of the ways that has really helped me learn what that looks like, because I didn't have mirroring for that because of my own experiences as a child and trauma and things like that, has been through watching animals. And like I said, you know, every time I'm like, oh God, life sucks or it's hard or, you know, whatever, I just have to do something mundane with my puppy, and he will show me the way. He will show me the way of finding joy in everything. His excitement and joy about being alive. He's just excited to be alive, and he's excited. And what adventure are we going on? And you know, everything from I'm going to the bathroom to he's like, are we going on an adventure? Oh, okay, we're going to there. All right, let's, you know, get some butt winkles, get some butt massages. Okay. And he's like, oh, I'm happy. Yeah, it was a good time. Right. So if you don't have an animal in your life, I recommend that you find some spaces that you can spend some time with some animals. You know, or, and if you're like, I kind of like this idea that, you know, animals can kind of help us, support us, help us navigate, teach us. And I would love to learn how to do that. Then come hang out with me because I'm, you know, I got my goat buddies for my little helping healers. I got Muddy, who's started his training of being a emotional support creature for my clients, and with being an assistant, their healing assistant dog as well. And you know, we can teach you, we can help you, we can awaken the love that's your right to have, to be, to experience, the joy that is your right to live. Like life, like I said, there's plenty of things in life that can suck really bad. And yet, one little moment of laughter and pure joy can erase and make the thing that sucks a little easier to be to deal with. Or it may open up the space for you to create a new solution to a problem that you couldn't find the solution because you were in the darkness and you were in it. So those moments of like unconditional love and those moments of pure joy helps us live life better, easier, fuller. So it's worth it. Like I said, sometimes my life really sucks. I unfortunately don't have a very cooperative body. That has a lot of stuff going on in it. And when that thing seems to be sorted out, a new problem arises. And yet, I'm not curled up in the fetal position crying all the time. Why? Because I have moments, these joyful moments that I just shared with you. I lean into those places of like, okay, well, yes, this sucks. And where can I find the laughter? Where can I find the ridiculousness in it? Where can I choose to not be the victim of it? Where can I choose to find some light in the darkness? Hope in the darkness. How do you do that? Well, love and joy and laughter. These are the ways. This is how this Anyways, that I should rephrase that. These are the ways that I have found have worked for me and have worked for many, 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 many of my clients. Okay? So, if you're like, life sucks and I want it to not suck anymore and I want to have some laughter and joy and maybe some horniness and maybe some sex time and maybe, some connection to others, then reach out and we can figure out what's going on and how I can best support you. Whether that's in person, whether it's with my little animal assistants, whether that's online, I use lots of modalities to get you there. And the best way to reach me is at to All Things Gaia. So you just go to Gaia Morissette. Dot com, or you can just send me an email at gaia@succulentliving.com and we can set up a time to talk and see how I can best support you. All right. On that note, I have to get ready for an animal assisted session with a client that my lovely puppy is gonna go and support. This client, we're going to go to the park, so we're outside and have a lovely time, and we'll see what wonderful, joyful, healing possibilities there are, even if there's some there's most likely crying. We'll do some crying. This is what happens. We'll do some crying. We'll do some laughing, and we'll do some, releasing, and we'll see how it goes. All right. Until next time, stay curious. Find one thing. I want you to find one joyful thing today. No matter what shit show your life may be in this moment, try to find one thing that you can find some joy in, even if it's for a couple seconds. And see how just that couple seconds of joy offsets the shit show. Okay? All right. Mwah. Bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. Just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also, come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know, because I'm a little bit of a voyeur, so I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please. Please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.